Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe, and I am back up in the captain's chair in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio after you're not having heard my voice live, unscripted and unrehearsed, for 2 weeks. For last week, I was in the air returning to the magical Isle of Vashon by way of SeaTac International Airport, airport code SEA, and was flying over the great state of Montana. It is the second time since I've been doing this broadcast that I've not been able to broadcast live. And so I sent a signal to Chris, who puts together the program, and asked him to randomly select a broadcast, and I don't know which one he selected. So anyway, we are back now all together once again. And my greetings today are twofold. First of all, I have to confess error. Now, you all will recall that I allow myself only one mistake or error per quarter, and I've not used mine for this quarter, so here it is. I missed several birthdays that I should have recognized on this broadcast. One of them is a seminal one. It is the 50th plus one. And so, Dr. and Professor Mark, I do now and hereby recognize that birthday. And a couple of others in my road family, one in my road family in particular that I missed. So, a belated but happy birthday to all of Captain Joe's people who I may have missed. The second greeting goes out to all of those who no longer sleep through the night. I have now become one of those, at least for now. Last night was a real stinker. I got up about every hour. The internal call being strong enough to force me to work my way around the sleeping sailor and to make a head call. And that went on through the night. At seven bells of the end of the midwatch, when the bosun's mate of the watch is customarily mustering the relieving watch out on the lee bridge wing, the leeward bridge wing, the sailor decided that it was time for him to hold reveille on me. And his drill on this is that he will tap my forehead with a paw softly and gently. And if I respond not, then he becomes ever more insistent. And the final one is that he will put the claw out just enough so that when he taps me with it, I understand that he is becoming somewhat insistent. And it almost always he either is ready to have midrats. Midrats is the sailor's term for rations which are issued out to the night watches in the middle of the night. And so it was either that he wants midrats or that he wants to go out. And this particular insistent pawing, and we did get all the way up to the little pinprick from the claws, he wanted to have midrats. And so I got up and went down and provided therefore. The midwatch is the time of most darkness and the time of most danger for ships. Captains are especially alert even when they are resting their eyes. They are especially alert during the midwatch. It was during the midwatch that Mary R. died. It was during the midwatch that my mother died. And I have spent literally hundreds of midwatches at sea in various places in the world, being a more alert and more watchful. So I'm hopeful that this in physical insistence is not going to persist, and that this is a one-off. But my greetings today go out especially to all of Captain Joe's people who feel the necessity, the urge to get up several times during the night, because this is something that is not the way that we ought to be living. On the binnacle list, several of my Coast Guard family are being challenged now by a combination of events, employment challenges that are being compounded by physical challenges that are being compounded by the high costs of prescription medications that they need in order to stay alive. And it is, as always, my hope that all of these things can be resolved in a proper and seamanlike fashion. So, as always, all of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list remain in the palm of my hand and close to my heart. And always the hope that we are making headway following the instructions of our medical practitioner so that we leave the binnacle list in the approved fashion and not by crossing the bar. The book this week is a return. It is the book about the biography of John Adams by David McCullough. And I bring it back up now because it has been slow going. It is like taking my North Wind breaking ice into McMurdo Sound, where it took me 1 year, 2 weeks to break 25 miles of multi-year ice. And working my way through John Adams, I'm not even up to where he becomes president, but I am up to a part where he reflects on something that is completely contemporaneous, and that is the aggressive behavior on the floor of the Senate, and in particular of the House of Representatives. And these things were all happening back in Adams' time. And furthermore, it was compounded by a rift in his friendship with Thomas Jefferson. All of these things are not only accurately, but very forthrightly depicted by McCullough in his biography of Adams. And I once again recommend it if you are of a mind to spend some time with John Adams and with all the people with whom he was contemporaneous, like Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson and, of course, George Washington. And one of the things that came out of my most reading in this book is that toward the end of his second term, and in the middle and toward the end of his second term, Washington was accused of all sorts of malfeasances by the opposing press. And the story that is carried forward of Washington and the story that is carried forward of Adams and of his son, John Quincy Adams, and of Hamilton, and who was the founder of the Coast Guard. We celebrate that on the 4th of August, starting in 1790. And with Thomas Jefferson, who would go back and forth from his home in Monticello in Charlottesville, Virginia. Jefferson was a frequent visitor to the financial binnacle list, by the way. He was a one who spent far beyond his income and had to deal with that for all of his life, as did Winston Churchill. So I recommend the book highly, and I will, as I get to closer to the end, there is an end to it, and I'm about halfway through it now. There is an end to it, just like when I say finally in a message that I send out to Captain Joe's people, and I always categorize that by saying, and I finally do get to finally. The magazine is not really a magazine this week, but it is a wonderful mailing that came to me from the Vashon Park District, and its title is The 2024 Summer Activity Guide. It's an absolutely beautiful piece of work. It has all sorts of events and things in it, two of which that I head up. First of all is Kite Day, which is on Sunday, the 12th of May, which is also Mother's Day. And we'll be flying my dragonfly kite on the 12th of May. Hopefully we get enough wind out there to get it up. It takes about 12 to 15 knots of wind. It's a pretty heavy and complex kite. And that's on the 12th of May from 10 to 4. And then low tide celebration, which is on the 22nd of June from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So I put in a call a little while ago to the Park District to tell them what a nice piece of work it is. And I'm going to have them down at the lighthouse along with Destination Vashon. And I, for those who are either coming to visit the island during the summer or live here on the Magical Isle, come and see me in the lighthouse. I start my regular summer tours on Mother's Day. That would be the first Sunday. And I will do those every Sunday from noon until 1600, except on those Sundays when I am out of town. And there are at least one time in May and a couple times in June when I will be away. The Chesapeake Bay and the Francis Scott Key Bridge situation continues to evolve and develop in a very smart and seamanlike way, given the tragedy of it all. The captain of the port opened a 35-foot channel, was able to get everybody out except for two, especially deep draft ships, which are still stuck inside on the upstream or north side of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in the port of Baltimore, or Baltimore, as those of us who come from that part of the world call it. And and that channel now is going to be closed until probably around the 10th of May. And the reason for that is that dolly is going to be salved, for that is the word, S-A-L-V-E-D, salved, and then moved, which means that she will be tested for her watertight integrities, make sure that she is not taking on any water and that she is not leaking any contaminants out of her. And she is finally going to be moved in that period up until the 10th of May. Now, the captain of the port, who is, in fact, the on-scene commander of the task force, to whom I am going to make a remark about this in just a minute, to whom such people as the Army Corps of Engineers and the Navy Sea Systems Command report. It is he who is in charge of that operation, and it is he who seems to be reluctant to make any kind of personal press releases, because I just saw one from the Army Corps of Engineers signed off on by an Army Corps brigadier. And this brigadier is publishing a very confusing chart, not on a nautical chart, but a very confusing chart, saying that the Corps is clearing all of these areas out and here's where the channels are. And if I were a ship captain or a pilot, I would say, that's a very interesting and colorful chart, but it has no pertinacity to my activities because that's not a sailor's chart. And on top of that, it is very confusing. And on top of that, it's coming out from the Corps and not from the head of the task force itself. Just a little bit of whining, mewling, and puking on my part, but I remain convicted of the idea that the captain of the port, Captain McDonnell, I think his name is doing just a splendid job, and he is probably far too busy to do much in the way of issuing press releases. He should have a person on his staff who does that on his behalf. And in the meantime, the idea that within a month after this terrible tragedy, three shallow water channels have been opened, one deep water channel, which they now have to close in order to pull Dolly out of there and get her to where she can be either repaired or scrapped, whatever is going to happen with her. That will be up to some extent, her insurers. There is a huge claw that has been brought on scene. It can lift 1,000 metric tons. And there are photographs of this. If you go to it, go to YouTube. I reluctantly say those words, YouTube. But go to YouTube, you'll find some wonderful material, including some photographs of this huge claw with people standing inside it. And that's what they're going to be using to lift the remaining pieces off of the forecastle. There is, I believe, there are either two or maybe just one more body to be found and to return to the family. And the people are doing just a absolutely splendid job. I have decided to spend a little bit of money and subscribe to the G Captain subscription service. And there was a very interesting thing that came out of that. But before I get to that, I want to make recognition of three things, really good things that happened to me while I was away. And the first one was that the final dinner at the annual general meeting of the Council of American Master Mariners, which was the reason why I went to New Orleans, to NOLA, was held in the World War II Museum in New Orleans. And over the years, that has grown from an exhibit to talk about the Higgins boat. The Higgins Company is the company that built many of the landing craft that were manned by Coast Guard crews and Coast Guard coxswains in all of the invasions all over the Pacific and, in fact, all over the world, but in particular in the Pacific. They were built by the Higgins Company in New Orleans, and a number of years ago, an exhibit was put together to talk about those landing craft. And then that exhibit grew, and it grew, and it grew. And today, it is the World War II Museum, and it is an absolutely splendid thing to go and visit. If you go to New Orleans for any reason, you will be denying yourself a wonderful experience if you choose not to go to the World War II Museum. So the final dinner was there, and one of the people that was there was a Navy Master Chief. You all have heard me talk often about my conviction that I was raised by Chief Petty Officers in the Coast Guard. It is the truth. And whenever I find a chief, a senior chief, or a master chief in either the Navy or the Coast Guard, and there's the opportunity to have a little seaman-like visit with him or her, I take that opportunity, and I did so with Master Chief. Master Chief then told me that he had served both in World War II, in Korea, and in Vietnam, and he had the ribbons and the medals to prove it. He was of small stature. He was what started out in my service to be called a commissaryman. In other words, he worked in the galley. And he then went on to tell me, after I told him that I was not only a Coast Guard captain, but that I had been raised by chiefs, he went on to tell me that in his first marriage, he had been married to a Coast Guard petty officer who had been a dental technician, and that she had contracted tuberculosis from one of her patients and had died from that. It's interesting how when two sailors get together and they start talking about service and things that they've done, that often other things come out, and that's exactly what happened here. He was in a wheelchair. He could no longer navigate for himself. He had a minder, and but he was just an absolutely delightful man. And my dinner was with a couple of other very interesting people. One of them was a merchant captain and his lovely lady he was no longer going to see. But alongside him and his wife was a young cadet from Texas Maritime Academy. And it was just a delightful table. We had a very enjoyable evening together. And it was in particular enjoyable because not only did we get to talk sailor talk, but we also got to talk to some young people and hopefully encourage and reinforce to them the goodness and the value of what it was that they were learning, and in particular, the things that they were going to be able to do with their lives, their life in this particular case. And so so that was the first thing that happened. The second thing that happened was on Friday, and that was a benefit for the Washington Trail Association, an organization which helps to take care of all of the hiking trails in the state of Washington. And they had a benefit. And the benefit was a musical benefit, and my friend Anastasia and her musical partner, Rose, were playing. Now, Rose and Anastasia are the pair that load a keyboard, Anastasia's violin, and formal gowns into their backpacks, and they hike up into the mountains, and they go up, and then they put on the formal gowns. They have a third person with them who photographs it all, and they play music under the name of the Mountain Music Ladies, Women. Anyway, it is a wonderful, wonderful presentation. Anastasia sent me a film clip of it all, and I was enchanted by the whole thing. Anastasia is also the one that owns the business that makes and sells the Kula cloth that we have talked about here, for those of you who are of the ladies' persuasion and choose not to use certain products out in the wild. You can use a Kula cloth. So Anastasia and her husband, Aaron, had come to Point Robinson. I had convinced them that they should find all of the lighthouses on the poster that I have at the lighthouse and then report back to me, which they did. So Anastasia had told me that she and Rose were playing in this benefit, and that just possibly there was a seat available with them at that they would occupy after Rose and Anastasia's little bit. And so I went to that, and once again, I was just delighted to be in a discipline that I don't have nearly as many of Captain Joe's people as I would like, the musical world. My father was a professional musician, and therein lies several other tales. But in the meantime, I don't know all that many people who, except here on the island, who I know for other reasons. And so it was an absolutely delightful time. And I am inviting Aaron and Anastasia to come and be my guests here on the island later on this year. And if we can work it so that they're here for a Tuesday, I'll have them come on the broadcast. In the meantime, you can look up Kula cloth. Anastasia brought me a couple of Kula cloths that had on one side the Point Robinson Lighthouse. The second event was on Saturday night, and that was the gala for the Heritage Museum. And I had bought a table and had put together a group of people for the table that turned out to be incredibly congenial and enjoyable of each other's company. And Heritage Museum, the people who manage and operate the Heritage Museum on behalf of all of us, have been on my broadcast a couple of times. They will be on again, which leads me to say and to remind everybody that next week we'll be doing Give Big. And so I will try to sneak in some of my regular features. I will certainly sneak in my greetings and my binnacle list report and any serious updates. But I will be talking with people of a number of island do-goods. And in fact, Give Big goes for the not only Tuesday, but Wednesday. And if you choose to listen, you can go on to the voiceofvashon.org and see the schedule and the ones that you might like to listen to. And certainly, I hope and expect and would command, were it in my ability to command anything anymore, that all of Captain Joe's people at least listen to the broadcast. I will have a whole hour and listen to the broadcast next week. What I started to talk about was G-Captain, and G-Captain has instituted a section that you pay for. And so I went ahead and paid for it because I like G-Captain a lot. The man who founded G-Captain is a merchant captain by the name of John Conrad. Captain Conrad spells his name with a K, K-O-N-R-A-D. And he started up this one for pay, and so far it does not disappoint. And there are a couple of articles that are not directly tied to anything that's going on in the maritime world right now. But one of them has to do with the revival, possible revival of large seaplanes. And I'm going to talk about this at a little bit of length because I have some experience with Navy and Coast Guard seaplanes, especially the P-5M built by Martin. And I was sent out one time to rescue a Navy P-5M that had ditched. And therein lieth a tale which I know all of you will want to listen to. The other thing that I need to mention is about Bonhomme Richard. All of you will remember my feelings about how all of that was managed, how it was handled. And now some penalties have been handed down for all of the people involved. And one of the penalties, and this one is completely over beyond me, the Navy three-star, who at that time was the head of surface forces in the Navy, was issued a punitive letter. Now, he's retired. It's not going to affect his retirement, but it sure as hell is going to affect his sense of self-worth. The only people who should have any kind of punishment from above the level of the ship herself are the commanding officer of the ship, who should have been relieved as soon as was practicable, the captain of the ship, in other words. You all know my feelings about both the sanctity and the obligations of command. And the other one, the commanding officer of the base that provided the shoreside firefighting assistance, which did not provide much in the way of assistance. Those are the only two people that, in my judgment, and were I in the place to make that decision, should have any sort of punishment handed down to them. In the meantime, the ship's XO was also penalized, and the chief of the boat, Master Chief, was penalized. Those two, if they were going to be held accountable in any way, should also have been held accountable by the ship's captain, assuming that a new one would have been assigned. Anyway, no incarceration, nor do I think that any was appropriate, but the way that all of this was handled from an administrative point of view, the only person who is really responsible for the death of that ship is her captain. And he should have been relieved immediately. And a suitable punishment after either non-judicial punishment or even a court-martial. I think I would have headed in the court-martial direction for his dereliction of duty, which was almost complete. And now I'm looking at my Omega watch, and it tells me that once again, we have come way, maybe even just a little bit beyond our time. This is, as always, you are Captain Joe. I am on station and watching properly. And as always, all of you remain Captain Joe's people in the palm of my hand. We will meet again here next week. It will be Give Big Week. We'll have a good time with that and with a lot of lovely people. And we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again.